Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Steve Schwartz. Steve Schwartz started his career working with Roger Schenck as a postdoc in the Yale University Artificial Lab. Steve helped Roger start one of the first AI companies, Cognitive Systems, which progressed to a public offering in 1986. Steve then started Esperant, which produced one of the leading business intelligence products of the 1990s. As the AI winter of the 1990s set in, Steve transitioned into a career as a successful serial software entrepreneur and investor, and created several companies that were either acquired or had a public offering. Well, good afternoon, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
This is really exciting, Steve. You've got quite a career in AI, right? Those AI spaces, a lot of experience there. And I want to talk about that today. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth?
Sure, Brian. So I think the key for me has been two things. First, it's been making opportunities and taking advantage of them when they arise. Second, it's doing things I'm passionate about. When I first received my PhD from Johns Hopkins, I was offered tenure track teaching positions at several universities, but instead of taking one, I decided to do a postdoc with Roger Schenck, who's a well-known AI professor at Yale University, because I was interested in AI, and AI was starting to become a hot topic. After 2 years as a postdoc, I was preparing to, I had accepted a position as an assistant professor at Brandeis University when Roger told me he was starting an AI company and wanted me to be his first employee. I accepted, took that opportunity. That company IPO'd in 1986, and I really never looked back on being an academic. In 2012, I retired from Tango after we'd grown the company from zero to 200 million and had the fifth best IPO of 2011. I left Tango because I was tired of managing people. Thought I was retired. Then I met my Device 42 co-founder, Raj Jalan, shortly after that. Loved his idea for a company, and the two of us rented a desk in a co-working facility, started writing code, sold systems over the web, and Device 42 is now one of the fastest growing software companies in the country.
Wow, that's exciting. You know, and the fact that you've had these different companies, but also in that space of, you know, emerging technologies is simply amazing. I really want to jump in a little bit more. Steve, as you know, everybody globally has had to make major shifts to adapt to this new normal during the pandemic. Could you share with us what you're doing to adjust and stay relevant in this economy?
Sure. So for Device 42, you know, as a software business with all our infrastructure in the cloud, it wasn't too difficult for Device 42 to leave our offices in Connecticut and our offices in Boston and for everybody to work from home. Our growth rate slowed a tiny bit, but Device 42 is still growing very fast through the pandemic and prospering. So, you know, we've been fortunate. We've had it a lot better than most. For me personally, I had made the decision about a year ago to leave my operating role at Device 42, but stay on the board. Over the last decade, I'd noticed that while AI was having significant commercial success, the hype around AI was getting out of hand. So I decided to start stepping back, and I left early this year. And what I've been doing is finishing up a book on AI.
Thank you for sharing, Steve. And that brings me to that next question then. Could you tell us a little bit about the thesis of your book on artificial intelligence?
Sure. So AI has made great strides from an engineering perspective. Siri and Alexa answer our questions. Google Translate helps us talk to taxi drivers overseas. Our smartphones automatically identify the faces in our photos. And that progress naturally leads people to wonder, where will it all end? Will AI robots get so smart that they turn us into pets? Tesla founder Elon Musk said, AI is humanity's quote-unquote biggest existential threat, and that it poses a fundamental risk to the existence of civilization. The late renowned physicist Stephen Hawking said it could spell the end of the human race. My frustration with this kind of fear-inducing hype and the overstatement of AI capabilities by vendors spurred me to write the book. And in my book, I explain why AI systems are not going to become intelligent enough to have the ability to exterminate us, to turn us into pets, or to even take all our jobs.
Thank you for sharing, Steve. I think that is an interesting topic, of course. I spent some time at MIT studying AI, machine learning, deep learning, and I would have to agree with you that there is kind of a lot of hype or fear around the future of AI. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Steve, this is the question that everybody wants to learn more about Steve Schwartz. Can you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in tech or entrepreneurship?
Sure. I've been a longtime investor, angel investor, and I found that the most successful first-time entrepreneurs are the ones who are experts in a field of endeavor and who have encountered a business problem that needs solving. For example, my Device42 co-founder, Raj Jalan, had a 15-year career as an IT consultant. Every time he started with a new client, he had to spend 75% of his billable hours building a map of his client's infrastructure. And he was frustrated that there wasn't a better way, so he decided to drop his consulting practice and build a software product to solve that specific problem, which is one I had in much of my career as a big company chief technology officer. And that's why I decided to join him. So my advice to prospective young entrepreneurs is this: you know, don't graduate from school and try to think up a good idea for a company. Go out, get some experience until you run into a real business problem that needs solving. Then think about starting a company.
I love that philosophy there. That advice is great. You know, a lot of people, I think they see, especially the younger generation, they see somebody with a lot of success and they think that it might be just easy to come up with an idea and run with it. But I think what you said would certainly resonate with a lot of people on this podcast. So thank you for sharing, Steve. Steve, it was certainly a pleasure having you on today, and I look forward to speaking with you again real soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye for now.